Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Some people say life's a beach, but it's not. Life's a battle. Life's not a beach. Life's a battle. That's what it is. You can't go into life thinking that the good time, the good feelings are always going to be there, because they are not. Jesus said the devil comes immediately to steal the word that is sown in a person's heart. But we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to be afraid. He said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer anyway, because I have overcome the world. And because he's overcome, we overcome. And so we're going to face battles. Thank God for times of refreshing where we can get away in the presence of the Lord and feel his presence and enjoy his creation and just have some rest and restoration time with God. But that's not where we live. In reality, we live on a battlefield. We fight the good fight of faith. And so we have to be prepared for that. Unfortunately, so many people in life are not looking for a battle. They're not looking for a fight. And yet the Bible tells us that we need to wage a good warfare. That even when prophecy is given to us, it's so that we can wage a good warfare. We should be looking for the battle. We should be looking for the warfare. We should be looking to fight. Not looking to relax, recline, retire, and just experience rest and restoration 24/7. That is not the Christian life. I said that's not the Christian life in this world. Now in heaven, I'm sure that's the way it is. But down here on the earth, that's not the way it is. In heaven, there is no tribulation like we have here on the earth, because there is no devil, there are no demons in heaven. But there are devils and there are demons here on the earth, and we have to face them every day, constantly. We have to constantly do battle. And so we need to be geared up for that. We need to have a mind to suffer. The Bible talks about that over, I think it's 1 Peter chapter 4. It says in verse 1, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, or have the same mentality. Have the same mentality as Christ, who what? Suffered. He suffered for us. He says, arm yourself, weaponize yourself by having the same mindset, having a mind to suffer. If you go out into life thinking that there should be no suffering, if you get up in the morning and pray, Father, I thank you for this day, that everything's just going to go great, and I just thank you, Lord, you just make everything smooth, and there'll be no tribulation, there'll be no problems today. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are with me to protect me from all troubles, and I thank you that we're just going to flow through this day today like it's just walking in the Garden of Eden all over again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And that's your prayer. You're in trouble. If you go out into your day thinking that's how it is, you're in trouble. That's not how he told us to pray. That's not how he told us to think. He told us that though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we'll fear no evil, because he's right there with us. He didn't say, well, I'll be right there with you so you won't go through any valleys and you won't go through any shadow of death. You won't experience any of that because I'm with you now. He never said that. He never said, no weapon will be formed against you. No, he didn't say that either. He said, no weapon formed against you will prosper. But weapons will be formed against you. And you need to put on the full armor of God. And having done all to stand, you need to stand. And you need to get good at standing when it feels like all hell is coming against you. You need to be able to laugh in the face of the enemy while he's attacking you, knowing that if God be for me, who can be against me? I always triumph and I always win. We're not afraid of the battle because we know we're blessed. we're blessed to overcome any kind of curse that would try to come against us. So we don't fear the curses. We don't fear the battles because the Lord is with us in the midst of it. He's in the midst of it. So therefore, we do not fear. We do not worry. We overcome. So we're looking to overcome, which means we're looking for something to overcome. Right? We're not looking to hide from adversity. We're looking to overcome adversity. We like that. Somebody says, I don't know if I like that. You got to like that. Start liking it. I'm teaching you how to win, how to triumph, how to have exactly what God said he wants you to have, the victory in every area of life. You've got to look to overcome, which means you can't be hiding from battles, trying to shun them. When a battle seems to be creeping up, when there seems to be a demon squeaking in the house, you need to rise up and look for it. Not sit there and go, I think it's the devil. No, you need to rise up and go, devil, where are you? Where are you? You look at you want a piece of this? Where are you? A lot of folks think the devil's just coming after us. Well, that's because you're not going after him. You know? Like one fellow said, he said, I got the devil on the run. And somebody said, well, praise God. And he said, well, I got him on the run because he's chasing me. He's chasing after me. No, we're chasing after him. We're putting him on the run. So we're not afraid of the battle. We're not afraid to fight. There's always this going against the flow of this world. The Bible says that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. They're under the control of the enemy. They're being swayed and moved by him. But bless God, we are resisting that flow. We are upstream fighters. It's funny, you know, Gene and I a lot of times are driving and we'll go into a parking lot to park. And I don't know, it's just kind of strange, but I always seem to be going in the direction where the arrow's pointing at me. You know? She's like, you're doing it again. You're doing it again. I mean, it's just, I'm always going against the arrows. It's the strange thing. This is out, and I find myself going in where the arrows are pointing out. I don't know, it's just kind of natural for me. Just going again. The arrow says this way, I'm going this way. You know, we need to be rebellious. We need to rebel against that devil, just not rebel against God. Are you listening to me? Not rebel against the truth, but rebel against the lies. Rebel against the deceptions. And so in that regard, we are rebellious. We are not going to just put up with whatever the world says is right and whatever the world says is good. We are going to resist the devil. We're going to resist him, and we're going to fight the good fight of faith, and we're going to overcome all these things. So God will. He'll call us away for times of refreshing. In fact, over in Acts chapter 3, if you'll turn there with me, Acts the third chapter, it says here in verse 19, Acts 3:19, he says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Everybody say, times of refreshing. Don't that sound refreshing? Yeah, this times of refreshing, it just sounds so good. Times of refreshing, that word refreshing can also mean a cool wind. Times of a cool wind from the presence of the Lord. It can also mean restoration. It can mean revival, a time of revival, reviving of ourselves in the presence of the Lord. And it's as we repent, which means to turn, as we turn to the Lord's way of doing things, as we repent of the things that are contrary to God, that we see that are not right with God, we turn from those things, and he promises that we will be refreshed. We will experience a time of refreshing. And then Psalm chapter 16, Verse 11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Love that scripture. "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." Here in Acts 3:19, he talks about times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord. He's referring to this fullness of joy and these pleasures that are forevermore. Time to be refreshed, time to experience pleasure in the presence of the Lord. Now, as you look at these two verses and you read them, what are the most important truths in these two verses? Let's bring up the first one, Acts 3:19 again. Acts 3:19. What's the most important truths in this verse of Scripture? "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." And then let's go to Psalm 16 again. "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So when you look at these two verses, what stands out to you? What is the most important part of these verses? And people say, his presence. That fullness of joy, that pleasure forevermore. Whenever we quote it, that's usually what we're emphasizing. That's usually what we're thinking about, is his presence bringing us joy, pleasures forevermore, times of refreshing. But times of refreshing, fullness of joy, and pleasures forevermore is talking about God. That's talking about him. But there's other parts to these verses that we really don't look at or think about when we quote them. And it's this other part: repenting, turning, being converted, walking on the path of life. That's not talking about God. That's talking about you. That's talking about us. So you got the God side of these verses, and then you got our side. Now, how many people know God's part doesn't require anything of us? God doesn't. God, I got news for you. Whether you live for God, follow God or not, God is a refresher. In his presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. That's just who he is. With or without you, that's who he is. So God is who he is regardless of who we are. Regardless of whether you're going to be a sinner or whether you're going to get on the path of life, whether you're going to repent, whether you're going to be converted, whether you're going to do things God's way or not, God is still God. It don't change him. It doesn't affect him. Repenting, turning, being converted, walking on the path of life is all about you. It's all about you. And so when we look at these verses, we see the promise of who God is in our life. But what we have to really lay hold of, the most important thing for us to lay hold of, is the part that applies to us. The part that deals with us, with what tells us about us, how it's going to go for us. In his presence, we got that. But what about us? How are we going to be? How are we going to live our life? If we repent, if we turn, if we are converted, if we walk on the path of life, then that is who we are. That is who we are. That's not who God is. He's helping us to do that, but we want to do that. That is actually more important in these verses. That's more important than understanding who he is. We have to understand who we are. Are we rebellious towards him, or are we repenting? Are we turning towards him or turning away from him? What kind of person am I? Am I walking on the paths of the destroyer, or am I on the path of, what path am I on today? That is very important to me. Because God's going to be who he is all the time. But me, it's very important that I am on the path of life. That I am going the right direction. So thank God for the times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. But the bottom line is, if after coming out of his presence and being refreshed, if we don't walk on the path of life, because when you're walking in this life, you're not always going to be feeling fullness of joy. You're not always going to be feeling warm, fuzzy feelings and experiencing pleasurable feelings in this life. It's going to be work. There are going to be struggles. There's going to be adversity. There are going to be things to try to kick us off the path of life. So the times of refreshing are to help us stay on the path of life. And that's the most important thing. I said it's the most important thing. A lot of folks, you know, they just look for the experience, like with praise and worship. Praise and worship in a lot of places is a lot like it is to the world when they go to some kind of concert, when they go and they listen to music. There's some kind of euphoric feeling that comes. It's some kind of pleasurable experience as they're praising and worshiping God. And a lot of people are in love with the experience that they feel while praising and worshiping God rather than loving the one that the songs are about. They enter into the feeling. They look for the feeling. And that's why the Lord, when we started this church 25 years ago, the Lord dealt with me about not having musicians and what we would call a praise and worship team at that time. And I went to him. I said, Lord, I said, we need a praise and worship team to stir up the people. You know, because here we are having a service. And I remember it was a Wednesday night service. Day before I prayed that prayer, we had a Wednesday night service, and I looked out and ministered, and it just seemed flat. I mean, it's just like people just staring at you, just looking at you, just like, And I thought, you know, it's because we don't have a praise and worship team. It's because we need music. We need music. We need instruments. We didn't have Mark back then. He wasn't born. He couldn't get up there, and he couldn't do that. So we needed a praise and worship team. So the next day I said, Lord, I went to the Lord about this, prayed. I said, Lord, we need a praise and worship team to stir up the people. And he came right back with a rebuke. And he said, praise and worship isn't to stir up the people, but is the result of a stirred people. And I realized right there that praise and worship is something that is to proceed from faith. From a heart for God, not the result of a feeling, not the result of an experience, not the result of feeling some kind of good, warm, fuzzy feeling that many times music can give people. I mean, before I knew the Lord, I mean, music went with you wherever you went. You had music playing. If I went and got in my car, I would turn the ignition and the radio on at the same time. I mean, you know, you just music, music, music all the time. And the world is in love with music and musicians. And that's, people like to say, oh, you're like a rock star. You're like a rock. That's like the highest thing, a rock star. Yeah, a musical star. Wow. You know, and they got all these television shows with people, you know, showing off their voice. And everybody's, you know, comparing who's got the better of, oh, wow. Ooh, look how it makes me feel when they sing. I feel chills all over me. Ah. And it's a feeling, it's an experience, it's entertainment, and we just love this, and we come into the church, and we have the same mentality, and we're looking for a feeling, we're looking for an experience. So the Lord said, no, I don't want that. He wanted us to really praise and worship him. And so if there was no faith in the house that morning, there was no praise and worship. If there was faith, then people were praising God, thanking God, giving God glory. There was no pep rally atmosphere. It was like you either love the Lord or you don't. You either want to shout about him or you don't, because there ain't no feelings that are going to help you do it. And a lot of times, that's how it is in life. You're going to be going through trials. You're going to be going through tests. You're going to experience problems in life. And if you're a person that's feeling-oriented and you're looking for an experience, you're going to find yourself very depressed and defeated. You got to know how to praise him. You got to know how to shout. You got to know how to do it by faith and not by your feelings. You got to love him because you love him with your spirit, not because of how he's making you feel today. Well, I just love the way God's making me feel, and I just love you, Jesus. Well, how about when it feels like all hell is barreling down on you and you feel oppressed? Then what happens to your praise? Then what happens to your praise? Where's your worship then? I mean, you got to give Job some credit. Because Job had all of hell come against him. I mean, he had a huge storm come against him. And the first thing he did was fall down. His kids just got killed. His prosperity was just wiped out. And what did he do? He fell down and worshiped God. He worshiped God. As this trial got worse and worse, and now he's experiencing pain in his body, even his wife came up to him and said, "Do you still hold to your integrity? Curse God and die." And he said, "You speak as one of the foolish women. Should we receive adversity from God? Should we receive good from God and not adversity?" Well, thank God we don't receive adversity from God. Job didn't know any better. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't know these things. It's the oldest writing in the Word of God, the book of Job. So he didn't understand some of these things. Not everything he said was accurate, but even in his spiritual ignorance of so many things, what did he do? He worshiped and praised God, and that's why he came through a trial that would have wiped out most people, and at the end of it is twice as blessed. He already was the most blessed man in the East, and now he's twice as prosperous, twice as wealthy, twice as blessed as he was than he was before going into that storm. He came out better. I said he came out better because God was able to connect with him because he did not curse God and die. He stayed in there. Paul and Silas at midnight, after being beaten, persecuted, thrown into the inner prison, no lights, dark, and chains, they begin to pray and praise God. They begin to sing praises to him. They did not feel it. They weren't feeling it. They didn't reach over. Silas, yeah, get the radio. All I have is these headphones. I'm listening to myself right now. Well, let me share half your headphone. We love the Lord. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I'm feeling it now. And they start to praise and worship. No, that's not what happened. They're in pain. They're bleeding. It's dark and it looks hopeless. And they begin to thank him. Oh, we thank you so much for delivering us. Thank you so much that we're counted worthy to suffer shame for your name. Thank you so much, God, for your salvation. And they just start praising and thanking him, magnifying to the point where all the prisoners in the place are hearing him. What happens to your praise and worship in a trial and a test? Thank God we can get away. Thank God we can come to church. God is so good. He has set up a place where we can come and sit at the table and feast on his goodness and experience his presence. I mean, in a corporate anointing and be full of the Spirit. The anointing comes on the preacher, bless God, and he's able to preach the gospel to us and stir up the word of God and stir up the truths of God in us. Praise God. Get us stirred up. Get us excited to get up and serve God. And then when it's over, we go out. We take what we got and we go to the battlefield. And we praise him until we meet again. We praise him until we come to service again. We just praise him and we thank him and we worship him even when it's not feeling good out there. So that when we come walking back in here, we don't look battered and beaten and defeated, and it takes 90% of the service before we start feeling better. And just about time to feel better, we say, well, bless God, let's just give him a shout and go. Everybody shouts, we go. And then the experience is over. And we go back out into the battle. And most folks are not ready for the battle. They just want to hang on to the experience. But the experience is to equip us. I said it's to equip us for the battles of life. It's to give us the ammunition that we need, the equipment we need to fight the good fight of faith. Can you say amen? So church is a place where God equips you, not entertains you. He didn't say over in Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse 11, that he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the entertaining of the saints. For the entertaining of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He didn't give you this to entertain you and to just refresh you. His presence isn't to just refresh you. It's to convert you. It's to turn you. It's to get you on the path of life. It's to change your life so that you are a refreshing wherever you go, because you live by faith. You walk by faith, not by your feelings, not by sight. You go out there and you fight, and you are a refreshing to others. It's who you have become. It's not just who God is, but now it's who you are. We're not just here this morning to just eat up all the blessings. I got to get me some blessing, man. Thank God it's church. My God, I need some fresh fruit off the tree. I need to get some fresh spiritual fruit this morning, man. I need to get some fresh nourishment. And we're trying to pick everything we can, fill our basket. And then we walk out there and it's 90 degrees and it begins to rot quick. Everything we couldn't eat and we're trying to carry out of here just starts rotting before the day's over. It's like, this isn't looking good because it's hot out there. And all your fruit is rotting. That's not what he wants. He doesn't want you to come and just see how many blessings you can eat and just get all the fruit off the tree that you can. He wants you to become a part of the tree. This is to help get you to abide in him. To abide in him so that you are a producer of much fruit even when it's 90 degrees. Spiritually. It's 100 degrees spiritually. And fruit is popping off your branches. The hotter it gets, the more luscious the fruit gets. And you become a shady place. Your branch becomes a shady place for people that are getting scorched and need to get out from under the heat. That's what we're to be. It's what we are to become, not just experience. People many times just get stuck on the experiences, and then they end up wondering why they're so empty. Why am I so empty? A lot of times I've heard people, you know, I had such a great time at church today. God blessed me, and you're not going to steal my joy. That was the whole purpose for you to get blessed. So that you can come and give that joy. Use that joy in that struggle. But we're trying to hang on to the joy. I got joy today, and you're not taking my joy. You're trying to hang on to the joy. It's rotting. Your joy is rotting. It's rotten fruit already. See? Because you didn't get it. You're trying to hang on to the experience. And the experience was setting you up to be something, to become something that you weren't before, to become a producer of joy. You received, you partook, and now you produce. You reproduce after what you've just received and had imparted into your life. It's not some kind of temporary fix. It's not just some kind of feeling. It's not just some kind of experience. And the Word of God talks about this. Israel had fallen into this. You see it over in Ezekiel chapter 33. In verse 31, the Lord speaking to the prophet Ezekiel. Now these are some incredible men. Ezekiel was like the superstar prophet of his day. I mean, this guy flowed with God. That's why we got the book of Ezekiel in the Bible, in God's word. This man flowed with God. And verse 31, it says, so they come to you, Ezekiel, as people do. They sit before you as my people. And they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song, as one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. And when this comes to pass, when all the things you've prophesied, all the disasters come to pass, surely it will come. Then they will know that a prophet, not just an entertainer, has been among them. See, the people in Israel, where they would just, even church, even the prophet, oh, have you heard the word of the Lord? Have you heard? That's a great word. A lot of folks like to say that. That's a great word. You know, just they gobble up the fruit. But we need to eat the pits. Swallow the pits and grow it for yourself. It's to be reproduced through your life. But they were just coming and they were enjoying the experience of the Word of God. That's how religions get formed. People go and they go to church. They go to Sunday morning mass. They go to their cathedrals. They go and they do their thing. And it's all about an experience. And it's all about making themselves feel better. And it's all about feelings. I had one guy tell me that. I was newly saved and he was coming against me, persecuting me for being saved, and I noticed he was going to his church every Sunday morning. And I said to him, I said, well, if you feel this way, because he's walking around smoking marijuana and stuff like that, I said, if you feel this way, he's persecuting me, I said, if you feel this way, I said, why do you go to church? Why do you take your church to church? Why do you take your family to church on Sunday morning? He said, well, I like to do that. He said, because, you know, it makes me feel good about myself. And, you know, it helps our family to stay together and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Had nothing to do with God. Had nothing to do with knowing God, serving him, following him, obeying him. It was all about how it made him feel. It didn't change his life. It didn't transform him. He didn't do anything different when he came out of church than he went to church. He went to church looking very nice, looking very dignified. He looked very spiritual. But when he came home, let's go back to smoking pot. Let's go back to drinking this. Let's go back to doing this. Let's go back to doing that. His life was not changed. His life was not, and he had no interest in his life being changed. I don't know. I'm interested in me being changed. I want to be better tomorrow than I am today. I want to get better. I want improvement. I don't want to spend my time on a lot of things that don't do anything for me, that do anything to me. A lot of folks spend a lot of time on things that just make them feel good. They like experiences. That's why we have a movie epidemic, entertainment epidemic. We got a drug epidemic. We got an eating epidemic in our society today. People are eating and eating and eating, and they're not asking questions like, what is in this food? Doesn't matter. I like it. It tastes great. And it looks really colorful. It's got all kinds of pretty colors. How does it affect your body? How does it affect your life? That's not important. What is important is how it tastes. What's important is how it feels. It's important. The experience is what matters. That's so superficial. And unfortunately, people that live like that will suffer a lot of negative consequences for not thinking beyond their appetite, not thinking beyond the experience. But we're looking beyond the experience. We're looking to eternity. We're looking about how this affects my life, because my life is valuable. God created it. Everybody say, my life is valuable. God created it. Yeah, so it's important what I do with it. I'm not just going to put anything in it. If I find out it's bad, I just can't do it. The Lord's just, you know, he has checked me on a couple things. You know, there's been things that I've liked, and he's just checked me on it. He says, not good. I said, okay, not good. We're done. I don't sit there and go, oh, God, just one more nugget. Just one more deep fried sugar coated. No. It does matter. I said it does matter. We're not just doing things to do things. What we do is to help us be stronger for the battles of life and to overcome and to be more efficient in life. We don't want to live like the world lives, out of their feelings. We're not touchy-feely. How it tastes, how it smells, how it looks. Walking in the flesh. That's all walking in the flesh. We walk by faith. We got our eyes on God. We're thinking eternity. We want to be a blessing. I want to be blessed, and I want to be a blessing. And I want to be better. And I want to keep getting better. And I want to keep getting stronger. I don't want to undermine that by doing some kind of fleshly things. People, they do drugs and things. Why? Because it's the feeling. They just can't see themselves without that feeling. They had such an incredible euphoric feeling when they were on this drug or they were drinking this drink that they just keep going back to it. Why? Because they're just thinking about how they feel, how it makes them feel. They're not thinking about their life. They're not thinking about how this is affecting their relationship with their God, how this is affecting their relationship with other people, how this is affecting their effectiveness in life and how efficient they're going to be in life. They're just thinking about the experience, the feeling. And when you just think about the feeling, you become a light, superficial person with no substance, and you're not going to accomplish much in life. You're going to be just somebody that drifts through life. Thank God that's not us. I said, that's not me. Is that you? No, thank God. Thank God that's not us. We're just not looking for a good time. We're looking to be good. We're not just looking for a fun time. We're looking to be fun. Remember, I've told that story before about that teenager that he liked to smoke his this and do his this and do his that. And I was, you know, trying to reason with him about these things. He just blurted out. He said, what do you do for fun? And I went right back. I said, I am fun. I'm one with fun. What do you do for fun? I am fun. I'm one with fun. I got fullness of fun on the inside of me. A lot of people say, what are we going to do for fun? Where are we going to go? What are we going to have? What are we going to experience? It's not about your experience. It's about being something. Being good. Being fun. Being that fun person when nothing is fun. Nothing's fun. You're in the prison. There's nothing fun in the prison. And yet there you are bringing fun to everybody in the prison. You're bringing something in there that you're bringing life, you're bringing light, you're bringing the presence of God, you're bringing fullness of joy, you're bringing good things into the midst of this very dark, gloomy, hopeless condition. Because that's who you are. Because you're not an experience person. You're a person of substance. You're a person who lives by faith. You live for eternity. You're looking to be more efficient and better at everything you do in life. You want to be a better person. You don't want to just be an entertained person. That's why people could spend hours and hours and hours in front of a television watching something that isn't doing a thing. It isn't adding a thing to their life. And they consume hours and hours of entertainment. And it's not putting a thing in them. If anything, it's draining them. It's all it's doing. It's just draining them. But they don't care. They're just flicking, looking for the next flick. They're looking for the next thing that stimulates and excites them. And the world knows that. That's why they got to keep things flashing. Pretty colors. Different pictures. Got to keep it fresh. Can't even just watch the news. You got to watch the thing going on the bottom of the screen, flashing on top of the screen. Alert, alert, warning, warning. Today, yesterday. This is why somebody's talking to you. It's like, we just can't get enough, man. We just can't get enough of it. It's like a drug. It's just like drugs. You get bored so quick. It's boring. It's not doing anything for me. It's not doing anything for me. I'm looking for something. This message today isn't doing anything for me. It's not doing anything for me. I don't feel any change. I don't feel different at all. You don't have to feel the change, honey. You just got to be the change. Be the change. Stop looking for the feeling. Stop waiting for the warm, fuzzy feeling to make you feel like, I feel different. I feel changed. That's nice. Because you're not going to feel that way for long. I personally promise you that. I feel changed today. Good. That's nice. You're going to feel like you're changing into a werewolf probably in a little while. As soon as there's a full moon, there's another change coming. Another change is coming. It's a full moon. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is not who we are. I like what it says over in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 17. Ecclesiastes 10, 17. Blessed are you, O land. See, you know what somebody just said to us? Somebody just said, I haven't seen the werewolf in a long time. I think I might rent that tonight. That'd be fun. No. Missed the whole thing. Ecclesiastes 10:17. Blessed are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobles and your princes feast at the proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. The contemporary English Bible says it this way. Happy is the land whose king is dignified and whose princes feast at the right time for energy, not for drunkenness. They eat for strength. They eat to be strengthened. They eat for nourishment. Now, God's been so good. You know, he makes things taste good. He makes things feel good. I mean, I appreciate that. And, you know, I appreciate good tasting food. But you can't let your taste buds run away with you and dominate you. And that's what you're living for. That's what you're thinking about. You have to be thinking strength for the battle. Energy for life. I need to be efficient. I need to be strong. It looks good. It seems to taste good. But is this going to help me? Is this going to help me? That's where the suffering comes in. Letting go of some stuff so that you can be stronger, so that you can be better, because who you are is more important than how you feel. I mean, you think about Adam and Eve. This is what got us messed up in the very beginning, right? Adam looked at that tree, and it looked good. It looked luscious. It looked great. It was going to be a great experience. And he partook of that tree without thinking about the consequences. Without thinking about eternity. Don't touch the tree without thinking about eternity. Thinking about God. That's why we're supposed to pray before we eat. Because before we touch the fruit of the tree, we think of eternity and we give God thanks and we give God praise. We thank him for what we're about to eat. We bring him into it. And there's probably a lot of things you'd feel funny thanking God for that you're putting up to your mouth. That's why people don't pray over everything. We just pray over the big meals. Let's pray over the snacks. Let's pray over those pretty colored things. Just saying. God wants us to live a spirit-thrilled life. No, spirit-filled life. A lot of times people, you know, because there's a thrill to getting filled. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, there's a thrill. But a lot of times people just fall in love with the thrill. They miss the whole thing. We need to live spirit-filled. We need to be people of substance. We're filled with the substance of God. We're not just looking for another thrill, another experience. And he fills us with a purpose. And the purpose is to be a witness unto him. So we get filled not to be thrilled, but to be a witness unto him. To be transformed and to carry him into this world. Do we have any carriers of the Lord? Carriers of the Spirit of God. We need to be carriers of the Spirit of God. Not just coming to the Spirit of God for a thrill, but carrying him, being filled with him, bringing him to the world. It's not about an experience. A lot of people, you know, a lot of people plan really hard for their wedding, but they don't plan for their marriage. They think about that experience. That wedding experience, that wedding, they think about romantic things. They get all kinds of romantic ideas about what it's going to be like. And a lot of times, as soon as the honeymoon's over, it's over. Because they didn't plan for the marriage. They planned for the wedding and the honeymoon. And in their mind, it was all about an experience. They didn't want to be alone anymore. No more lonely nights. Well, they're not alone anymore. They got somebody to work for. They got somebody that they have to love. And I'm not talking about love, fuzzy feeling, warm, fuzzy feeling love. I'm talking about that unconditional love that's patient and kind, suffers long. Hello? Suffers long, stays nice when it's suffering long. You know, the Apostle Paul, you know, the Word of God says, it says, you know, that it's better to remain as you are to the single person. He said, those who get married are going to have trouble in the flesh. People don't even think about that. No trouble in the flesh. We're talking steak dinners. Candlelight. We're talking about love. We're talking about romance. That's what they think it is. They think it's just love and romance. It's not. It's about for a woman, be a helpmate. Huh? Yeah, be a help. Help! 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 He's got problems. Help! Him! Husbands, love your wives. Don't be bitter towards them. Be patient, be kind, because I want to develop love in you so that you can be like me and be long-suffering. Amen. Put up long with them. Endure. But you'll learn love. You'll learn to be more like God, who's patient and kind and good to all. Wow. We don't think about that. We just think about the romance. And that's why a lot of people, once the honeymoon's over, they only endure for a little while, and then they're looking for the next thrill. They're looking for the next fun experience because this thing has dried up. This is not fun. This is not fun. Are you fun? Yes. The people at work think I am. No, you see, you're living in an experience land. Be fun wherever you go. Bring fun to that dry, waterless place. Make it bloom in the desert. Be a miracle worker. Two miracles in the desert. Come on, somebody. Are you with me? So we're not superficial, just living from experience to experience. We're looking to be changed. We're looking to be transformed. We're looking to bring life to others. We're looking to succeed. We're looking to be transformed, which means be turned into the image and likeness of Christ, Jesus, our Lord. Be more and more like him, more yielded to him. That's what we're looking for. I want to be better. Is this going to help me? Is this going to make me a better person? How is this affecting me? How is this changing me? I'm not just looking to feel good and have an experience. I'm looking to be good, to do better, to be a better person than I was before. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, see, if you have that kind of attitude, then you have a mind to suffer. Now you're ready to go through the battles in life and look forward to them. Because through them all, you can be improved. You can be made stronger. You can be made better. And we come, we get refreshed from his presence, and then we take what we received and we walk on that. We take it and use it to be able to walk on the path of life and to continue to walk and fulfill the plan of God for our life. Can you say amen? Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord this morning.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.